a forest grow. A painting, a picture, a bird and Diz flattening fifths on 52nd Street. What is a beat? A sweet black, brown, and beige. A rhapsody, free as the wind in a restless breeze. A counter melody, a masterful stroke. What is jazz to me? The beginning and the end of an endless affair. A warm something else, cannonball, and Miles used to play. When autumn leaves were in, the weather was for the birds, and Oscar Peterson made honey out of a wildflower called baby, baby, all the time. Jazz to me was like when I was living a lush life on top of the world.
Living a lush life on top of the world. Welcome to another installment of the Qumran Report, Voices from the Ether. You just heard a voice from the ether, the late Sanji Ali, performing Jazzing Around. A celebration of life will be held on Sunday, September the 18th, 2011, for Sanji Ali. More information about this show will be given during our community calendar. I will be your guide tonight, Ghost in the Machine. My studio guests on this hour-long sojourn: spoken word artist Twin, guitarist Jack Rivera, comedian Miss Cece, actor Franchi Joy, and our regular feature community calendar presented tonight by our very own Connie Strong. A reminder, feel free to call in during the broadcast. The phone number, toll free, is 1-800-893-9562. The show's producer and regular hosts, Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene Anthony, are away at the 2011 NAACP Theater Awards presentation tonight. Melvin was nominated this year for Best Playwright for The Emperor's Last Performance. All of us here in the studio wish him good luck. Good luck tonight, Melvin. To be nominated for such an award is a prestigious thing, especially for someone to be nominated coming up from the nickel. Melvin is the founder and CEO of Drama Stage Qumran, a Skid Row theater company. Last week, I had an opportunity to speak to Melvin, getting his perspective on the nomination and what it means to him. Let's listen to that brief interview.
Taz Gitlin's performance in Eugene O'Neill's play The Emperor Jones propelled him to the height of his craft, and at the same time made Eugene O'Neill one of the most famous playwrights in American history. But the role of Brutus Jones in The Emperor Jones was not Charles Gilpin's greatest performance. His greatest performance was in pretending that he liked the role, that it made him a star. Now, this particular play, The Emperor's Last Performance, is a play that I spent 15-20 years off and on putting this play together ever since I found out about this important actor, pioneer actor, Charles Sidney Gilpin. He was the actor that preceded Paul Robeson in the movie version of The Emperor Jones. The problem that Charles Gilpin had is that the play used the N-word. It used the word nigger over 20-some times throughout the play. And when the play hit Broadway, Gilpin, because of the feedback from the Harlem community, he had a problem in using the N-word throughout the play. So throughout the performance on Broadway, he began to change the words. And instead of using the word nigger, he would use the word black boy or brother. And so he ran into a conflict with Eugene O'Neill about changing the playwright's word. And this led to the firing of Charles Gilpin and Paul Robeson coming on the scene to do the part, The Emperor Jones, and this was the beginning of Paul Robeson's career. The reason I like this play is because, and I think it's an important play, because we deal with a lot of the pioneer African-American historical characters like Paul Robeson, Charles Gilpin, Burt Williams, who pioneered comedian, the real king of comedy, Anita Bush. She founded the Lafayette Players, the Lafayette Theater Company in New York. It's a historical company, one of the first African-American stock companies in the United States of America. Also, G.X. Cooks, Susan Glassfell, G.X. Cooks, he was the founder of the Provincetown Players, which I look at as being your early community theater companies. And I look at it as being an honor for the NAACP to choose this play as one of the best plays of the year, of last year. And the reason I think it's so appropriate is because the Spring-On Mellow that was created by the NAACP in the 1910 to honor the people of African American descent who have made the contribution to their community. And Gilpin received the Springer Medal. He was like the third recipient of this medal. So I think it's appropriate, and I'm just glad that the NAACP will have a chance to honor Charles Gilpin again.
Right. Well, thank you, Melvin. And once again, all of us here in the studios wish you very good luck tonight in this presentation. Back here at the crossroads, I'm honored here to have an artist in the studio that uses words to paint pictures, to tell stories, to cross borders that have been created by prejudices and denials. His name is Twin. A few years ago, I started to videotape performances down here on the Skid Row area. Tonight I'd like to play a little excerpt before we get him on the mic. This was a performance that he did at the Exchange about 2 years ago during a celebration for Martin Luther King.
So maybe someone needs to hear this so they can realize they're in denial, and maybe it's because they liked it and still haven't put y'all's things away. Of course, my experience as a child had a deep psychological effect on me, even now, from puberty to maturity. But I thank God for giving me wisdom, because I realize no more am I a child or innocent, but guilty. And only honesty can erase excuses that justify and then identify the problem, the first step to obtain sanity. So to write and verbally express is to come as I am, but not stay that way, only become the man I'm supposed to be. So I humbly ask that you spare your self-righteous, know-it-all response of, you gotta want help first. Color doesn't matter, because I'm a real woman or I'm a real man, and for me it wasn't easy. My question will still be, since you're saying it, are you even qualified to give me what I want? Which is someone even willing to help me? That's what I thought. It's hard to be a black man and put child's things away.
Woo! Let's put our hands together for our in-studio guest tonight, Twin. Twin, you have amazed me ever since I first saw you, heard you. You continue to come up with pieces that are very timely, very moving, very emotional. Where did you get your start? Where are your origins?
The streets, the ghettos, the projects.
Okay. What inspires most of your writing? How do you, what is your process? Do you have a process?
Well, what inspired my writing was long ago before I even knew Skid Row existed. I was used to hang out with my big homie by the name of Keith Logan, and he was a rapper. And I used to hang out in his garage, and he used to rap all the time, and I used to ask him, you know, how can I put words together like that and be able to express myself and say anything I want to say in poetic fashion? And he said, you know what, twin, you can. And I'm going to write you a little rap, and I want you to learn it. And when I see you again, you better spit it to me and know it by heart without reading. So when he seen me again, I flowed it to him, and I was looking at him like, what's next? And he said, okay, now you know how to put words together and express yourself and say anything you want to say in poetic fashion. Just write in that same format. And I really seriously started writing when I had went to prison, like over 20 years ago. And I first came on the spoken word scene. The way I got my name was I was standing outside a poetry venue, and I heard some women outside, and they were talking bad about black men on Skid Row. You know, how they don't do Skid Row, and men, black men on Skid Row is nasty and dirty, and, you know, and just talking bad about them. And I knew that. I was like, damn, I live on Skid Row. So I said, now I know what I'm going to represent, you know. And so I went in there and I was like, yeah, I'm twin. I represent Skid Row. And everybody's eyes just got huge, especially the females that was outside talking bad about black men on Skid Row. But it was just because of, you know, the hurt that I received when I heard them talking about black men on Skid Row that made me start representing Skid Row. But now it's turned into a crusade, a mission, just to erase the whole stereotype of black men on Skid Row, because a lot of people out there, they act like they don't even know that the black male is practically extinct. You know, they ignore the statistics, they ignore all the police brutality, they ignore, you know, the hate crimes. It's like, you know, they ignore the way the system is against the black male father. And to tell you the truth, I've seen more black men on Skid Row spending time with their children than I have out of Skid Row. And so it's just like, even when I go to poetry venues and even when I go outside of Skid Row to, you know, extinguish events and things of that manner, it's like, even on the street, you know, I was sitting outside the studio today and I seen a woman who I see every week at the venues that I had gotten to an argument with because I gave her a compliment and she turned her nose up at me because she was with her white friend, and she made amends and even added me on her Facebook. And I'm sitting outside the studio right here today, and she walked by me on her phone, looked me straight in my eyes, and didn't even smile or say hi and kept on walking. That's why, what gives me inspiration. That's what makes me so passionate about what I do, because I know that you see me as someone invisible, as someone insignificant, and I'm determined to let the world know, nah, the black male on Skid Row does exist. We are human. We are good fathers like me. I'm an example. I don't do drugs. I don't even drink alcohol, you know, but I work hard. You know, I fall on bad times, but I don't go nowhere and complain about it. People don't even know what I'm going through right now. All they know is my poetry. So it's all about being strong for those who are weak. Like people say, only the strong survive, but they don't talk about how the strong survived off of the backs of the weak. So I'm here to defend the weak. I'm here to defend those who are not spoken for, who are misrepresented. That's what Skid Row Flowing is all about. I have my own T-shirt that I came out with, and I sell out on this T-shirts every time I get them, with a message on the back that says, "It's amazing what's in the mind of those who appear not to have one." Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people buy my T-shirts. And Skid Row Flowing is on the front with a book, with handcuffs sitting on the book. Written on the handcuffs is experience in red, black, and green. And on the book is written information in red, white, and blue. And I'm a gang interventionist certified. I do tours on Skid Row specifically to youngsters one-on-one. And it's amazing because every we can walk up to practically 10 homeless people, and I guarantee you 9 out of those 10 homeless people will tell that youngster, when we ask them, "Do you have a high school diploma?" They'll say no. Mm-hmm. And then they'll give that youngster a long story. Mm-hmm. And that youngster will, I know a youngster right now that's in the Navy and even got degrees in college from a tour that I gave that youngster. And I really don't go out and brag about those things, because there's too many people out there that brag about those type of things already. You know, like they want to be noticed for something that we really should be doing without being noticed. Like the woman who financed my T-shirt, her name is Maxine Waters, and I mean Maxine Anderson. She's called Silhouette the Poet. She has her own book, and she just came out of nowhere like an angel, financed my book, didn't ask me for nothing. She just said, "You know what, Twin, you've been on the poetry scene this long, and I'm just shocked that none of the people that you've been around have helped you or even asked you if you needed any help, and I'm going to help you because I see your potential." And Maxine Anderson put all the money up, paid for the T-shirts, paid for the silk screen, even sent me money in the mail and told me, "You get it copywritten too." And even hooked me up with the artist who did the book, who did the artwork on my logo. So this is the type of individual that I want to be, because I learn from people like that when they show themselves. Because God has his own way of showing himself, like he did through Maxine Anderson. And so this is what gives me strength, because out of all the people who smile and act like they're the ones that's out there being the cream of the crop and revolution for the people, it's the ones that are not seen. It's that truly good deed that's unseen that God recognizes, and that's the poet that I want to be, and that's what I want people to know what Skid Row Flowing is all about. I don't want recognition. I don't want popularity, but I demand notoriety, because people have no choice but to notice. Because like people who really support me and I know love me tell me all the time that I sound like I'm a lion roaring, and I know that that's what I am now. And so that's what it's all about. That's what Skid Row Flowing is all about. It's not all about no pity party. And I ain't trying to get nobody to feel sorry for me, though a lot of people try to paint that picture and label me as someone who wants people to feel sorry for them. You know, it ain't about that at all. I don't want you feeling sorry for me, because I'm going to demand you respect me. And I'd rather you hate me because of the truth that I speak than feel sorry for me and then disguise it as, "Oh, I love you, Twin." No, you don't love me, but you're going to respect me, because that's what Skid Row Flowing is all about, demanding respect.
Okay, great. Thank you, Twin. Thank you very much. Can you go ahead and close us out in a few minutes of words of truth here? You've got about 5 minutes.
No, I'm not antisocial. More like a social tyrant. And no, I'm not a menace. More like indignant. Because looking to be socially accepted It's tiring, exhausting, like that giving up all hope feeling, how I have to chase. Like playing hide and go seek, like the timid fake and intimidated playing like they're the humble and meek. Well, I'm here to break all that up, like Jesus breaking up the church and calling it a den of thieves. I should speak according to your definition of upliftment, please. What I used to be transforms into what I've become, like grabbing hold of a gun. Just when I'm being raped, you've done. Rage consumes with a grudge. I'm pumped. So I treat that cliche, neutral, appeal to everybody type expression like junk. Take your conscience and thump. Make irrelevance and misinformation flunk. Kick ignorance in the ass and say, shake the spot poop butt because you smell like a skunk. Like the ego and pride that goeth before destruction, so does the foul stench of dead flesh that comes right after it. So how good you look or smell becomes your hang-up. I got a hunch to God, all our sins look and smell like throw-up. So you can turn your nose up, but my guess, your Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Mother Mary, Allah, or God ain't impressed, because your behavior reads biased. My behavior reads self-defense against a majority narcissist, racist ideology of hatred and bloodshed, like the many blacks who jump on that bandwagon just to fit in, caught up in their own individualism and justified as multiculturalism instead. Well, please contribute what twin contributes to put in your head. I invite you to the spoken word spread to get you full fat and fed, because I admit I also live in filth, neck deep in it, but I don't wallow in it. I struggle to climb up out of it like I'm homesick. So if nobody's offended by what I say, I'm not honest. If maximum impact with minimum word use defines poetry, I'm not finished. Hair not nappy enough, skin not black enough. So you ask, twin, what you mixed with? So I answer, I'm mixed with those unique experience genes called black and American. Still don't answer your question? Well, that's still your damn problem, because multiply equals plus. I'm just getting started. Skid row. Flowing.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. All right. All right. And that brings us to our community calendar. I'd like to thank you again, Twin, for coming in tonight. Where can somebody get a hold of those t-shirts? Do you have a phone number or a website?
You can get a hold of me on Facebook, because my email is down right now. I only interact and network on Facebook. So if you hear me tonight, just inbox me, Twin Skid Row. That's who I am on Facebook. You'll see me, my face pop right up. Twin Skid Row, inbox me. Let me know you heard me on the radio show and you want to network with me and you want to get one of those t-shirts. And I'm also working on a book, too. So I'm working hard, going hard like Waka Flocka in the paint, trying to get it done. I have two sons, one 21 and the other 7 years old. And so I'm really struggling for them also. So I'm a responsible father who just really wants to send a message through spoken word poetry. And I just hope that everybody gets behind me, the whole poetry community, all my friends, all my family out there. Y'all know me, Twin Skid Row. Get at me.
All right. Thank you again, Twin. Thanks for Twin visiting us tonight here on the Crossroads. All right, Connie, you're going to give us what's going on in our community this week, right?
Oh, great. My name is Connie Strong, and I'm here to do the community calendar. Okay, Tuesday, August the 30th, grab your ink pens, 2011 at 7 p.m. We got Dr. Mongo. He will host the Poetic Justice League at Fernando's. Location is 519 South Spring. Okay, contact number is 213-784-1703 or 213-570-5635. On Sunday, September the 4th, 2011, at 4 p.m. at the Exchange, and that's at 114 West 5th Street. That's 114 West 5th Street. We got the Isaac Clay's one-man show. You don't want to miss this show. Heaven Can't Wait No More. Admission is $10. For more information, you can call 323-850-4436. That's 323-850-4436. Also, Sunday, September 11, 2011, at 7 p.m., we got the Interfaith Community Unites for Justice and Peace. We'll honor and present the 10th anniversary of 9/11, honoring the first recipient of George Rigas Courageous Peacemaker Award. A distinguished panel of leaders will speak on violence of war. Special music guest will be Fredo Payne. This location is All Saint Church. That's 132 North Usit, Pasadena. I hope I pronounced it right.
Euclid.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, for more information on that is 213-748-1643. That's 213-748-1643. Okay, last but not least, on Sunday, September 18th, 2011 at 4 p.m., also at the Exchange, that's 114 West 5th Street, tribute to Soul Vision Final, the late Suji Ali. Suji Ali, okay? For more information, you want to call 323-850-4436. Now, also, if you're in the community or wherever you're at, if you want to put your event and you like the announcements on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. You want to make that attention to Earlene Anthony. Okay, that's dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. And once again, all the number for the show is 1-800-893-9562. Again, that's 1-800-893-9562. Now back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Connie. That's the number if you want to call in. And if you have any questions to any of our guests or tonight, that's the number to give us a call at. All right, let's get down to some music. This is one of the first times our show is attempting to bring music to our corner. My next studio guest is a gentleman that I've only known from his voice over the phone or text and emails over the last year. We recently met face to face and listened and seen some of his videos of past performances. He's a bit of blues, he's a bit of rock, and something in between. His name is Jack Rivera, and he's here tonight with Jordan, who's going to be on the pedal steel guitar. So I'm going to turn it over to Jack and our engineer, Jeremy. And Jack, tell us just very briefly a little bit about yourself.
Tyronius, hi. Well, you know, thanks for having me on the show here.
Okay.
It's fantastic. It's nice being up here in a penthouse on 7th and Spring. Not too shabby, you know.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, I'm from here. I'm from Boyle Heights, from the neighborhood, sort of. And I've been playing music since about 14, 15 years old, running around the city playing in various groups, some mm-hmm. pretty good, some not so good. And, mm-hmm. you know, here we are.
Okay, so you're going to play us a little bit a little bit of country here or a little bit of rock and roll?
Well, you know, it's funny how things happen. My friend here, Jordan Shapiro, who picked up on the pedal steel, I don't know, maybe not that long ago, maybe or a while ago, maybe 10 years ago or something. I don't know. He picked it up, and he was pretty good from the get-go, and he helped me out on some tunes, and really haven't worked with him since, and we just happened upon each other just a couple of days ago, and here we are, and we're going to do a couple of those, so we're going to lean towards a country, you know, country flavor.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So, this is Jack and Jordan, and
hello.
Here we go.
All right. Thank you. All right. This one's called, Broken Strings. Here we go. One.
I'm just a wayward poor boy, so tell me, who are you? I'm just the same. But still I get a little sad.
And come back at you with a song at the end. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Fabulous. You know, at this time, we're going to continue our journey through the ether. What we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and play a little tape performance that was done back in 1991. Spoken word piece done by the late DCX. It's a piece that many people have tried to imitate and mimic, but there's nothing like the OG. They beat another brother last night by D.C. Henry X.
Brothers, as soon as he wants me to say a word, so I'll say a word. They beat another brother last night. They beat another brother last night. Do you think it's right because they beat another brother last night? They beat another brother last night. They've got the rope. And they've got the tree, but one of these days all people have got to be free. They've got the rope and they've got the tree, but one of these days all people have got to be free. Feel free when this is me, poverty and degradation, the descendant of a slave nation. I took a look at slide the white man's history book, but I didn't see me, except when he was degrading me and making sure that I couldn't feel free. Why he put my great-granddaddy on those auction blocks, gave his son all those hard knocks, and told me that I couldn't have a job because my color wasn't right anymore. Martin Luther King down like a thief in the night. They put another brother last night. They beat another brother last night. They beat another brother last night. That ain't right. Is it time to fight? They've got the rope and they've got the tree. But one of these days all people have got to be free, or burial grounds will be in demand. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Whatever happened to our brother and sister Africans that refuse to accept the the slave master lash and whip. That's right. Much obliged. They killed him. They killed him dead. They've got to rope and they've got to tree. But one of these days, all people have got to be free. My name is
Dadisi,
and I am a poet.
I'd like to... Right. That was Dadisi X from back in 1991. They beat another brother last night. All right, let's bring some laughter into our channel tonight. We're going to have Miss Cece. Miss Cece, I first saw her perform at a community unity festival about a year or so ago, and the thing I like about her is her ability to talk about her experiences down here on the Nickel and turn them into interesting little stories that kind of tickle your funny bones. So I'm going to turn the radio over to Miss Cece here.
Oh, thank you, Tyrone. I appreciate you inviting me. I've been homeless back and forth since 2006. I've been on Skid Row twice, and Skid Row is like a comedy to me. And I have to agree with Twin about something he said kind of stuck with me. He said that he don't do drugs, he don't do this. You know, I got to agree because I was down on Skid Row. I don't do any drugs, you know. I don't really do no lot of drinking or whatever. But it's so many people get it twisted. I mean, just because you're on Skid Row don't mean you on drugs. I basically went there because I needed a place to stay. It just so happened to be Skid Row, you know. And like I said, I've been doing comedy since 2003, and I'm about to blow up. I feel it. It's coming. I'm about to be big. So I need y'all to call me and give me a call. If you're interested, I have my email for you at the end of the show. Also, the only thing about Skid Row, you just got to kind of watch who you talk to down there, because it's kind of like a mind thing. You know, I was sitting on the bus. I was a little frustrated. I just got on the bus, and I had this guy just, I sat beside the wrong guy that day, and he said, "Do you know who I am?" And so I kind of ignored him. I didn't want to say nothing because I knew I was going to cuss him out and do something. I ain't to say something. I had no business. Then he said it again. He said, "Do you know who I am?" So I said, "Let me." Oh, I said, "This fool." I said, "Lord, I'm." I said, "You Jesus Christ, right?" He said, "You the first one that got it right all day." So you just got to watch who you talk to. Another guy tried to pick me up down there on Skid Row. Can you believe that? He said, "Hey, girl, how you doing? You a big old fine hefty thing." He said, "I wish I could take you home with me." He said, "I got a house right on the corner of San Drusia and 6th Street." And I'm thinking, I said, "Wait a minute. Ain't no houses on San Drusia and 6th." He said, "Come on around there with me. You're going to enjoy yourself. We'll sit down and have a couple cocktails and have some fun." So I went around there, y'all. This man living in a box. The biggest box I ever seen, had a nerve to have a one-bedroom. Tell me, come on in, check the place out. You'll like it. So I walked in the bedroom. I was looking around. I saw a big, you know, them big old long steel matches we used to have back in the day to light the barbecue grill.
Yes.
I saw one of them burning. So I stepped on. He said, "Hey, who told you to cut the light out?" You know, like I said, Skid Row was nothing but comedy to me because I was sitting down, y'all. I was talking to a lady. I sat and I talked to that lady for 45 minutes. And she kept calling me Spot. And I was wondering, where I said. So we kept talking and talking and talking. And she looking at me and I'm looking at her. And so the lady finally pat me on the back. She said, "You know she ain't talking to you, right?" I said, "Yes, we're having a conversation." She said, "It took me 30 minutes to realize that woman was not talking to me because that's why she was calling me Spot. She was talking to her dog."
I had the same problem at the wine guard.
Yeah, so you get a lot of that. You know, I just use this and I turn it into jokes, you know, try to have some fun with it because, you know, it ain't nowhere that I wanted to be. But at the time, I appreciate it and I thank God for having a place to lay my head.
Amen.
You know, amen. So what I do my comedy and I base it on what I learned. But the bad thing about me, since I've been homeless, I did some things I thought I'd never do, you know. Like a guy told me one time, I was at the pawn shop. I was pawning something because I really needed some money. He came up to me. He said, "Hi, how you doing?" I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "I want to be spanked." He said, I give you $300. You just spank my ass real good. And I thought about it. I said, spank it, $300. And I kind of looked in my pocket. And I said, well, I said, I tell you. He said, I don't worry about it. He said, I knew he was a pervert, but $300 sound good to me at the time, right? So he said, I tell you what, I get a room. And we can just go just have us some fun. He said, I want you to just spank my ass real good. I said, I tell you what, don't worry about the room. Let's go right down here in the alley, and I'm going to bust your ass wide open. Anyway, I'm going to end it tonight. If y'all interested in me, I'm at cccomedy@hotmail.com. I don't want to give y'all too much because I want to start making some money. You feel me? But anyway, call me, email me at cccomedy@hotmail.com. I ain't got nothing coming up. I need something coming up. I'm still doing open mic. I ain't making no money. I need to make some money, okay? I'm sleeping in my 1991 Dodge Dynasty. That's my address. So help me out. Help me out. Help a sister out. Okay, we're going to give it back to Tyrone. Y'all show some love.
Thank you, CC. Thank you so very much.
Yeah.
So that email address is cccomedy@hotmail.com, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Bringing us in tonight is going to be the one and only our actor, producer, singer, and songwriter, Miss Franchie Joy. Franchie's going to perform her little role as Comic Head from a play that Melvin Ishmael Johnson wrote called Nailheads. The music accompanying her performance tonight also comes from the ether. It's a piece done by the late Zen Daddy himself, Ron Allen, singing Bobby Sang.
Voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the mix is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. The poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body
flavor. Hi, everybody.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Comic Head, and I am a nail head. And I'm the comedian for Skid Row. It ain't always fun and games, you know, telling jokes that turn out to be on me. I laugh to keep from crying, trying to bring joy to others, but the joke turns out to be on me. I was talking to this cat the other day. No, a real cat. You know, meow, that kind of cat. Yeah. I had a conversation with a cat about the homeless and the Skid Row community and about how he wanted to give me advice on surviving the nickel. I'm walking through Skid Row, minding my own business, and this cat calls me over. Meow! I thought I had flipped my weave. And the cat said, "Hey, sis, I want to have a word with you." And I said, who, me? And the cat said, "You see anybody else around?" So, okay, I walked over to the cat, and the cat said, "I see you out here struggling to survive, and I want to give you some advice." And I'm like, "You sound like a jive cat to me. Like, you know what you're talking about." And the cat said, "Well, I ain't the one homeless and living in a box." Ooh, ouch. So the cat went on to say, "You know, sis, when they first took us out of the jungle, we ended up living in boxes, out late at night, going through trash cans looking for food. And we said, this ain't gonna work. We gotta come up with a game plan. Something simple, something practical. And now, We live in the best houses. We eat all the best food. And we watch all the best TV programs. And now, this is my advice to you. Treat people right. And eventually, they're going to treat you right. Be nice to people. And eventually, they're going to be nice to you. And check this out. Try to have a positive attitude, because the only place you're going to get with an attitude, with a negative attitude, is where you're at right now. And that's nowhere. And remember this. You hardly ever see cats living on the street. And then, the cat was gone. But I remembered something that the cat had said. You don't hardly ever see cats living on the street. And I see, that's what I mean about the joke being on me. There's something wrong with a society that cares more about its animals than its fellow human beings.
It's simple, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging body. A pawn can be simple, but the mix is really greater in the mix of time and the digging body. A pawn can be simple, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging body. A pawn can be simple, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging body. A pawn can be simple, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging body. A pawn can be simple, but the voice is really greater.
That was our Miss Franchi doing Comic Head. Franchi has a new song out that's available online. Franchi, where can we get this album?
You can get it at cdbaby.com, and you can download it.
Download at cdbaby.com, and I think we have a sample, right, Jeremy? Thank you. So that's the new little song, right?
Little song.
Take me back. Take me back. And that's available at cdbaby.com.
Yes.
And how do we look it up? Just simply?
Yeah, you just go to cdbaby.com and then search for Franchi Joy.
That's J-O-Y, right?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. All right. The winds are picking up, and it's time for tonight's sojourn to end. I'd like to thank my guests, twin Jack Rivera and his accompanist, Jordan. There he is. Jordan Shapiro.
Give him some love, Tyrone.
Of course.
Tyrone.
Miss Cece Franchi and, of course, Connie Strong doing our community calendar. Jack is going to play us out tonight in our last few minutes, but here's a good reminder. Skid Row LA is going to be taking a break for upgrades and such. The Qumran Report will be back online Monday, September the 12th. The show's hosts, Melvin and Arlene, will be back then too, and once again focus on prison reform, homelessness, and what needs to be done about it. We'll also have some more spoken word and musical guests lined up too. Jack, you ready to take us out of here in the last 10 minutes here or so? Or
10 minutes?
I thought you'd say that. Yeah. 10 minutes is a long time.
We'll see what we can do.
You see what you can do?
Well, we'll see. We'll do one.
You'll do one? Okay.
Jordan,
okay.
And then I might have to take off.
Why don't you?
We'll do another one that Jordan can play. And then I'll do something else.
One of those old rockabilly tunes to close this out. How about that?
Okay. All right.
All right.
All righty. It's an oldie of mine. It's called Sexico.
Performances coming up, or do you have a way if somebody wants to make arrangements for you to come play? Is there a way to get a hold of you?
There is, you know, other than just saying a Facebook page, which is Jack Rivera. At this point, that's pretty much it. I don't have any groups right now together that, you know, that I should be gigging, but, you know, I pop out of here and there.
Okay.
And I will be getting more busy, so keep an eye out. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So we've got a little bit more time on the clock here, Jack. Do you want to rock us out?
How much time do you got?
Well, give us something for about 2 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah. Lord, you got a little 2 minute bit.
I'm going to do, yeah, I'll do, Yeah, I'll do a couple, and I'll do one that I wrote when I was a real young man.
Yeah, when you're a really young man.
Really young.
I remember
I'm
86
now, so, you know, in a while. It's called Jealous Man. And Jealous Man. I guess I'll do a couple of tunes with an L.A. theme.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Yeah? Right?
Yep.
Okay. Tell y'all a story about a young man running around the streets of Los Angeles in the 1980s. Well, I was out one night with my best friend and told me that he didn't intend to find someone to comfort him and to help him with his mind. So I took a seat all by myself, and then I lied about my well. Found some girl I did not know, she would help me with my mind. She was the wife of a jealous man, yeah, the wife of a jealous man. Yeah, she did not say, how could I know? She was the wife of a jealous man. Far from home one time, I met a girl I thought was fine. Decided we should take a walk just to pass the time away. Before you knew what we was involved, and I must say that was the cause for her old man to be upset and to run me out of town. She was the wife of a jealous man, yeah, the wife of a jealous man. Yeah, she did not say, how could I know? She was the wife of a jealous man. Good Lord, man. She had just come off a ride, just like two babies fast asleep. But we were still asking me, well, 1, 2, 3 raps on her door. Man, I moved like never before. I bid farewell to that little girl, I won't get caught round here no more. She was the wife of a jealous man, yeah, the wife of a jealous man. Well, she did not say, how could I know? She was the wife of a jealous man, the wife of a jealous man. I said, the wife of a jealous man. Well, she did not say, how could I know? She was the wife of a jealous man. Well, she did not say, how could I know? She was the wife of a jealous man. Yeah, well, she did not say, how could I know? She was the wife of a jealous man. We're about 8 minutes there.
It takes us right out of time.
All right.
For tuning in tonight.
All right.
That was right on the mark.
Was it?
Right. Right on the mark. 9 o'clock.